Back on Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 13. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 13, section 205, Education School Finance, page 97, after line 5.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of third reading amendment number 13 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is a technical improvement amendment that was brought to me by our hardworking and intelligent staff here in the Senate Attorney's Office. They went into the amendment that I did in this area on second reading and found there's a mechanism in there in making the thing work technically. They found a better way to do it that's already in the statutes. The amendment as it stands works. The amendment as it will be with this amendment works better. Mr. President, I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion. We're voting on third reading amendment of 13. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. President?
Excuse me, Senator Wasserberg, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I just would like to inform the body that this cut, as I figured it up yesterday, it's about $1,000 per student for every school district.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 13 to Senate File 1. Please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Downton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Hastert, no. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson? Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. And Sammy Dalton, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 13 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 28. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 28, section 205, Education School Finance. Delete the.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate third reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Anyway, members of the Senate, I understand the health of our school foundation accounts and the future accounts we have to make and, you know, the actions that we have to make. But members of the Senate, a budget footnote isn't a way to legislate a monumental change in education. We know this method will be unconstitutional. Even a compromise position later would be unconstitutional. As my good friend from Campbell County said, constitutionally, you can't make arbitrary cuts to the school foundation program. Cuts must be done on a rational basis. Under these cuts, equability would not be realized. What's the rational basis, and how do we maintain equability? Many of us attended a meeting where there was a walkthrough of the school foundation program earlier this session, and during the explanation of the school foundation program and referencing the many Supreme Court decisions, it was clearly stated that if there is an attempt to reduce funding to the school foundation program, it must be done on a rational basis, based on the cost of providing appropriate education to every student in the state. And what are we doing? Wyoming students will be negatively affected because of the cuts to funding. Districts would have to increase class sizes, lay off staff, and cut employee hours, all of which leads to less one-on-one time, leaving some students struggling. Recalibration may head that direction, but it will be a rational, cost-based decision. And historically, we've gone through the recalibration process with consultants, Department of Ed districts, and other key players to come up with a cost-based model. Concerning the cuts, ask yourself, did you hear the educational issues, educational research, or the effects of the cuts on the educational basket? Well, when we leave here, we have no idea on how these cuts are going to affect our kids across the state. Is this responsible legislation? Cuts may need to be made, but will be made utilizing the proper process. We've made a commitment to our districts, and the districts have made commitments to their employees. Recalling the Code of the West, let's live up to our commitments and pass the amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Mr. President, it is the constitutional duty of this legislature to set the budget. And that's what we're doing here. And yes, in good government and dealing with the court decision both, you need to have a rational basis. What I did in developing this amendment, Mr. President, was to add up all the various suggestions I've heard around here that do have a rational basis. Removing the ghost teachers, reducing our administration expenses, reducing our travel expenses, where we're busing kids all over the state, taking them out of the classroom. Mr. President, and there's a legion more of them. We've developed major excesses in our education system, and they're getting in the way of getting the kind of results we deserve. This amendment proposes it's a little over a 5% reduction. That's not going to cripple any school district. It does fall a little harder on the major districts, including mine, and quite lightly on some of the smaller districts. That's all right. That's rational. Mr. President, I added up all the things I could find. I took about, you never get them all, so I took about 75% of that and came up with this particular amendment. And I think it's very important that we have this discussion. It may be a conference committee will treat this as a budget balancer and put in the things that both houses have agreed to. Or it may be this will be our vehicle. But one way or another, we need to get started on this route because the needs of our education for improvement demand it, because, Mr. President, our finances demand it. And if we don't get started now, we're going to hit a real hard cliff that will be very painful for the school districts, for the students, for the taxpayers, and, Mr. President, for every other program in state government. So for all those reasons, I urge us to defeat this amendment and stick with our second reading position.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer.
And against the amendment, I haven't been to near as many educational meetings as the folks on education, but the ones that I have been to sitting in, as I've been working some educational issues, the district said one thing, and one thing clear, that if you're going to give us a cut, give us the flexibility, don't cut specific things, give us a cut in the block grant, and let us figure out where to make the cuts. And I believe that the previous amendment that Senator Scott brought forward does exactly that. And the rational basis really extends from the total dollars, as a good senator explained, was the addition and the summation of the areas which we determined were rational. But, Mr. President, because he did it, I think, in a way that does not tie the hands of the districts, allows them the flexibility to determine where they need to make the cuts, that in itself, Mr. President, I think is even more rational due to the testimony that we've heard from the districts throughout at least the meetings I've been to, and I guess if anybody from the Education Committee has ever heard anything to the contrary, you know, I guess now's a good time to say, but from whenever I was there, they just want to cut in their block grant if they need to take the cuts.
Further discussion. Senator Rossless.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, and I have been to all of the education meetings on all of the committees for the last several years and listened to this dialogue and had these discussions. And I've also had the opportunity to go through recalibration and work with the model and get to understand the model, as well as the opportunity over the last few months to work with members of the Joint Education Committee, a subcommittee of that Joint Education Committee, on trying to come up with what would be thoughtful and reasonable cuts in cooperation and collaboration with the school districts. One of the things they say is make sure that whatever happens comes in the block grant so that we have flexibility to do it, as the good senator from the eastern part of the state says. But that's not the end of their list. There are ands after that, Mr. President, and there's a long list of ands that modify it so that they can actually accomplish those objectives based on the cuts. There has to be flexibility within statute that allows them to make some of these cuts. There has to be rolling in some components of the model that are not currently in the model into the block, or excuse me, not model, but into the block grant that were categorical grants to provide additional flexibility for those cuts. There has to be an allowance for transportation, as an example, as it gets cut back to be engaged in the block grant so that there's flexibility. There also has to be consideration for small school districts and how we treat them through the model. There's a lot that goes into this. It is not simply a matter of coming up with all of the things that I could think of and multiplying that number by 0.75. That was never on the table. That was never one of the things that was discussed. There was a very thoughtful discussion that led to the white paper, which had in it a series of proposals that included additional revenues. It included internal revenues being diverted towards education. And it included a series of cuts, some of them in the first year, some of them in the second year, that would have totaled a number that probably isn't too distant from this number, but at the end of the day, it was a very thoughtful and methodical process to try and achieve those numbers. This is incredibly complicated. This is not the type of thing that we want to do by picking a number without input on what that number would be, knowing full well that it's unconstitutional, and we do know that. There is no rational basis for this number. There's no rational basis for getting to the mechanism of how we got to this number. It's not equitably distributed, and we know there are basically two standards the court's going to look to. Do you fully fund the basket of goods? The answer with this is no. Do you fund it in an equitable manner? The answer with this is no. So on both counts, the court is going to come back in probably about 4 minutes of deciding where they really just take a water break and then come back in the room with their decision and say, yeah, you failed the tests that we put forward in the Campbell decisions. We absolutely need to accomplish this objective of scaling back the educational expenditures, raising additional revenue, and taking a realistic look at this problem because it is a real problem. I don't believe anybody in the body appreciates that more than I do. I get the problem. But a problem of this magnitude, severity, and seriousness that leads to scores of people coming to every single meeting from across the state to weigh in and provide detail should be taken more seriously than one number which was arrived at by adding up a series of different policies that nobody had ever actually looked at and weighed before. For example, the ghost teachers. That has never been on the table. That's wildly unconstitutional. That's why it was never on the table. That's one of the components in this calculation. So to say that there's a rational or equitable basis, I think, is a long stretch. But to come up with this number, put it in the budget, and say that we're going to use this as a chit in a negotiation with the House when what we're talking about is the educational funding of all of the children of the state, including my children, that's an unreasonable stretch. We need to take this seriously. I'm not the biggest fan of an immediate recalibration, but that's a serious approach. That's one that my good friend, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, or not Appropriations, the Education Committee, has wanted to see for a while. That's constitutional. That gets us there. might not be my favorite approach, but it certainly is a good one. We should take this seriously, make sure we have stakeholder engagement, dialogue, and as
you have 15 seconds.
Not just an arbitrary cut in the budget because we need a number, Mr. President.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President. Mark Twain is dead. That's what the newspaper headline said. Mark Twain is dead. Which inspired him to pick up his pen and write, "Rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated." And to paraphrase Mark Twain, rumors of the death of public education funding in Wyoming are greatly exaggerated. To listen to the media accounts or look at social media, you would think we were on the verge of completely shutting down public education. It is a 5% cut. It's time for a reality check. We have a 20% hole to fill. Arguably, what we should be doing rationally is more than 5%. It's a good start. It's a good start on and against the amendment.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do believe that the district that I represent is probably the hardest hit. And I would like to discuss those real quick. And we need to remember that in the budget session, we did the penny plan, which was 2.4%. I have this cut at 6%. You guys are saying it's 5. But my district has lost 500 students. And if you add up all of those students at 15,500, that's a cut of $7.75 million over 3 years' time. And if you add in the cut of this particular bill from the good senator from Natrona County, you're looking at $11.6 million to my district for a total of almost $20 million. And that is a cut of about 18 to 17%.
Further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second. Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I want to remind everybody, I'm not going to go through what I went through in second reading. If we were going to really be realistic, this is a bigger bite out of the apple that we need to be taking. And if to comment on what my good friend, the senator from Sheridan, said, we should be doing more. If you look at the numbers out there as we get down the road, 5-6%, whatever you want to call it, $90 million, we got a bigger problem than that. But I want everybody to remember one thing. Like I alluded to, this is a very rich model. It's richer than any other models in the region with the consultants we've had, you know, market analysis. It's a very, very rich funding model. We can absorb this. We can absorb it, and we need to absorb it now. We got recalibration as a kind of an umbrella out there that we'll go into immediately. But I urge you to defeat this amendment and stick with what we passed on second reading.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Hastert for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the debate, and I think that a lot of good things said here. And still, though, you're going home and not understanding what this is going to do to your districts. It may be it's characterized as a 5%. My district says more like 10. We're hearing 18 in other areas, and it's all kind of all over the map on what you're hearing. We make commitments, and this is a rich model, yes, but this is a model we chose. This is a legislative model. We made these decisions, and we made these commitments, and we should stick to them. I'm for the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns? No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladen?
No.
No. Wasterberger? Aye. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 5 aye, 25 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1 has failed. Third reading amendment number 32. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 32, corrected copy. Section 300, budget balancers. Section 48, Department of Health. Page 40, lines 5 through 15.
Senator Burns.
Came before I was ready, Mr. President. I'm sorry. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, one of the things that your Joint Appropriations Committee came out of our bill in dealt with the statutory reserve, which is supposed to be 5% of the budget. And what the Joint Appropriations Committee did was set sideboards so strict that it couldn't even be profiled. And what the bill, original bill, does is states that the governor cannot access any of that money unless the CREG group, the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, comes back at least $100 million below, or the spending, the revenues come back at least $100 million below the CREG estimate. And I personally did not think that gave the governor enough flexibility in dealing with the fluid situation we have with the budget. So basically, Mr. Chairman, what this bill, what this amendment does, is it sets up the statutory reserve account $104,550,000. Now, within that, it incorporates my second reading amendment from a couple of days ago, which is allows him to use $19.2 million from that in case there's a catastrophic failure at the penitentiary. That is the estimated cost that it would take to move the prisoners out of state for 1 year. In addition, for Title 25, I lowered the amount from $21 million down to $15 million, and even that may be too high, but I'd rather have him have it not needed than the reverse. Mr. President, as for the governor spending the statutory reserve, he can only expend the funds in the statutory reserve or any other state funds up to the amounts specifically appropriated by the legislature. So if he decides that we didn't appropriate enough, say, to Department of Agriculture, he cannot exceed that appropriation by using money from the statutory reserve. So the sideboards are still put on to how and when the governor can use the statutory reserve. But I think it's important that it be there for him to use as it was this past year. And we saw unprecedented drops in revenue. We hope that doesn't happen again, but just in case it does, we want the governor to have the tools to be able to do something about it.
Further discussion? There being none, we're voting on third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner? Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercutt? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladen?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 24. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 24, section 312, major maintenance, section 80, Department of Corrections, page 69, line 10.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. Ask for your favorable considerations. Member of the Senate, this cleanup, so to speak, of the amendment I passed the other day for the college over in the western part of the state that has the piping emergency. We took the money out of tobacco funds, and it wasn't quite by Hoyle. What this does is, if on page 69, if you look on the, in the budget itself, field services, this is substance abuse treatment. It's at a secure treatment facility up in the central part of the state. A lot of people call it the 100-bed facility. They utilize tobacco settlement money as it and general fund money. So I just took $200,000 of the general fund money, put in tobacco money, and then used the $200,000 general fund for the piping projects. More appropriate mechanism for the funding. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment, this is a distinctly less appropriate means of funding it. We have, in our corrections department, we have had tremendous success. Our recidivism rate is probably, with combined with Oregon, of the best in the country, 25%. The national average is 50%. One of the principal reasons we've gotten there is that we have been able to treat, Mr. President, the inmates, all the inmates that need the treatment with substance abuse. We're losing that with the cuts that already had to be made. This will be a further cut and reduction. We'll make our performance in that area significantly worse. And, Mr. President, I'm concerned if you go take part of the funding out of the 100-bed facility, which we put in because it was cheaper to do that than it was to go elsewhere. It wound up, it was a bidding process, it wound up in my community, I grant you. But if we take that out, I'm concerned as to the viability of that institution. So, Mr. President, it looks to me like this amendment's a very bad idea.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the way I read this, my understanding of it is this is a fund swap, not a reduction in spending.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Hastert, for your second time.
Mr. President, the good chairman of Appropriations is exactly correct. It doesn't take reduce any money from that facility. They're utilizing federal funds. We just took the swapped the federal funds and the general funds. They are whole, 100%. It's just the money that was in the budget amendment on second reading is moved over there, and then the general fund money moves over. So it's just a swap of funds, no reduction to that agency whatsoever. And that's just simply uses, it's in a more appropriate use because it uses general fund money to pay for that piping issue.
Senator Scott, he's already spoken for a second time.
Mr. President, I know that, Mr. President. Mr. President, what I want to say is I missed that. I apologize. I thought the senator was just plain cutting the thing up there. So I think he's right, and I got it wrong, and I apologize.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Hastert, everybody's happy? I'm not sure about that. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson? Aye. Anselmi Downton? Aye. Baldwin? Aye. Barnard? Aye. Boner? Aye. Bouchard? Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Case? Aye. Christensen? Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter? Aye. Driscoll? Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Vladeren?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 14. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 14, section 320, position freeze, page 107, line 9.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1. Folks, I talked about this when I went through the section 320. This is merely a clarification and cleanup of words to allow the state auditor to correctly profile the amounts needed for the freeze and salaries on the 75 positions. It doesn't change any money or anything. Allows them to correctly do their work and profile it. Move for adoption and stand for questions.
For the questions? Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Hagar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Vladeren?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Members of the Senate, do you all have third reading amendment number 34? It's out of order. Did you all get it? You might have come in late. We need to deal with it now. You all got it? Okay, third reading amendment number 34. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 34, section 320, position freeze, page 109 after line 13.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 34 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, in 320, section 320 is where we have the position freeze in there. One of the institutions or agencies that it hits maybe a little too hard is Department of Corrections because they have the highest turnover. So what this amendment does is exempts them from that position freeze. They're constantly trying to get more people, and the more they can get, frankly, the better. It'll cut down on overtime.
Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 34 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Vladeren?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 34 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 15. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 15. Addition to 300 sections. Page 110 after line 2.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1. Fellow senators, this is a technical correction by our staff. You will remember that this is the amendment that deals with the decrease to the 100 series, and it needs to be reflected in the 300 series. I would call for question and your support on the amendment.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed, 30-aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 29. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 29. Addition to 300 sections. Delete the...
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move
third reading amendment number 25 to Senate File 1 and...
29.
And ask for your favorable consideration. So, Mr. President, to be clear, I move third reading amendment number 29 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, this is by capturing the 2% of the 100 series, we're going to be creating inequities in agencies all across the state. You're going to have people in the office working side by side, some getting a 2% cut, some getting none. And it's going to create a lot of inequities. And then if there's not the 2% you're going to be looking at, is it going to be layoffs or, you know, people getting losing their positions? And across the state, I think these agencies have suffered quite a bit, or we've cut them dramatically, and there just really isn't really room for much of that. I know it's just 2%, but it can have a devastating effect, and it can have a real morale issue with people across the state. And then Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, and I've also heard, you know, that there's been notions of, salaries have increased dramatically over the last few years. And, you know, there was a document I had passed around you have on your desk, and it shows the annual rates of increase, and then it shows the two different pages, shows the cost of living index. And if you just look at it for the same period of time, rough calculations are that inflation has gone up around 6%, raises have gone up 3%, so there really is, people have really not had that, excessive increase, so I ask your favorable support.
Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. President, on and against this amendment, this would be great. I wish we didn't have to cut anybody, but we've got less money. And this is one of the fairest ways to do it.
Further discussion? Senator Nethercott.
On and for the amendment, Mr. President. This is not the way to save money, is to cut people's salaries who have been working for the state tirelessly for years. They are serving us. They are serving our communities. They're raising their families here. This is not the way to do it, particularly now when we are asking them to do more with less. You are demoralizing them in a way that's just really unacceptable. And I would strongly encourage this body that this is not the way for us to save money, is to cut their wages that they're working so hard for. This is not the way.
Further discussion? Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, did I already mention Mark Twain? Rumors greatly exaggerated. 2%. 2%. Reality check. On and against.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, further, I suspect the majority of the money satisfied this cut is going to come to what happens. is that somebody quits, somebody retires, you have a vacant position, you no longer need the 100 series money to pay that salary. So the bureaucracy waits till toward the end of the fiscal year, grants some salary increases or hire somebody at a higher salary, and then that escalates our 100 series standard budget going forward. I think most of the money will come from stopping that particular game that has been played. I think all the years I've been down here, I've seen that sort of game played, and it does happen, and I think that's where most of the money is going to come from here.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Mike.
The mic's on. Stand a little closer.
Yeah, the inflation rate hasn't been over 3.9% for the last 4 years, and last year it was only 0.5%. And I know, being on the retirement as a retirement liaison, they're actually thinking about changing the rate of return based on the reduction in the of the inflation rate. So the inflation rate is the concern is that it might actually go negative rather than remain positive.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, just like to share, I guess, a somewhat unique perspective, having lived in this community for 5.5 years and actually having a few personal friends who are state employees. I understand the difficulty with these reductions, but the reality, I appreciate the gentleman from up Sheridan area talking about a reality check. The very people who have worked tough shift work, the folks up in our coal mines, uranium mines, they're taking 30% reductions. There's no more overtime, and that's if they even can hold on to their jobs at all. So I just urge the body to maintain a little bit of perspective.
Further discussion? Center office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on for the amendment, and Mr. President, the Joint Appropriations Committee brought this body a balanced budget. So when they showed up here, there were sufficient cuts made to make things work out. It was a reasonable budget that they brought. What this does is effectively pile on a little bit and say, well, even that good budget that was brought by the Joint Appropriations Committee isn't enough. Let's just go ahead and arbitrarily cut 100 series by 2% across the state. The idea that that's just a 2% cut in salary is not a realizable outcome. The reality is somebody probably has to be fired for that, because scaling back an individual's wages is just not a typical approach. We don't necessarily have the authority to say, all right, we're going to reach in and take 2% of your salary. Perhaps you could give some furlough days or something along those lines, but otherwise it would be a takings. So, Mr. President, from that standpoint, this provision that was added on second reading, which was sort of a, well, let's find some more ways to save, it just goes a little bit too far. This amendment remedies that. It certainly isn't the end of the world. As my friend from Sheridan said, it's just 2%. To the state, it is just 2%. It's not that big of an amount of savings. But I can assure you, Mr. President, that to the individuals that suffer as a result of this amendment, it'll be a big deal. I think we should be on and for this amendment to remedy the previous egregious mistake.
Senator Agar.
On and against the amendment, Mr. President. Once again, we've heard reality check. The reality check is, in the last 18 months, independent and private businesses such as mine have lost 50% of their equity. I've had to sit down and have those conversations with employees and say, I don't have the budgetary means to pay for you to be here anymore. Those are hard conversations to have. So how do we expect those small businesses to pay the taxes and saddle the weight of the atrocity of the agencies right now?
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, for you that don't know, I run a little local government agency. And in the last 5 years, we've taken a 61% cut. We're still there. We still service the people. We implement our statutory authority, 2%. I wish that's all that we would have had to deal with as a local government agency.
Okay, further discussion, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I thank the minority floor leader's support for the Appropriations Committee. In fact, there was a vote taken on a cut very similar to this, and the majority of the Appropriations Committee on the Senate side voted in favor of it.
Okay, further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 29 of Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 7 aye, 23 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 29 to Senate File 1 has failed. Third reading amendment number 16. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 16. Corrected copy. Addition to 300 sections. Page 110 after line 2.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what we've got is that there was the task force has come back and reported there was a report that came back out with a number of recommendations. This has received some pretty wide press. I was approached by at least a couple of structural engineers who looked at that and said, and as they looked at that and were familiar with the project, followed the events, the reports to the State Building Commission, and followed at least. From a distance, some of the proceedings of the task force came back and said that as they looked at the alternatives, that they said that there were less expensive ways to do the remediation in place. And so what I bring to you is this amendment, which appropriates $50,000 in the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund. The Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund is a permanent fund that has certain amounts in it, and the income produced from this permanent land fund are available for penitentiary construction. It's a very modest fund, but there is about $300,000 of so far unappropriated income that's off of that fund that's available for construction at the penitentiary and other related issues. What this proposes is that we would get a second opinion. We're talking about spending somewhere between 80, from the report, 80 and 250 or more million dollars on this. If I was ready to undergo a procedure that was very expensive and was not only expensive but had a significant effect on me, it's not inappropriate to get a second opinion. There is $50,000 in here to obtain that second opinion. My understanding is this can be done in a couple 2 to 3 months, and so I'm asking for a second opinion. I'll report this. The Management Council will be able to engage that contract, and the report will be provided to the Appropriations Committee, who will be taking this on not later than July 1st of this year. And so with that, we'll have a second opinion, and that will help, I think, hopefully that will resolve some of the issues and provide some better assurances about whether the recommendations that came back from the study that was done are appropriate, or if should be left at further, whether we should pull the trigger and determine the remediation method and go forward. I'd ask for favorable consideration.
Further discussion, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And on and for the amendment, while I was on the task force, and I do believe that the consultants that were hired provided a very adequate solution, a solution that I believe is good. I'm certainly amenable to having a second opinion. I think we all are. It's such a large number that I think it's very important for us to do that. And so
I would urge passage of this amendment. We're not going to be hiring this remediation work if we decide to repair it right now. So let's just pause a few more months, and I agree with it.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Richard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen? Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 33. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 33. Corrected copy. Addition to 300 sections. Page 110 after line 2.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 33, corrected copy, to Senate File 1. Make sure that you're looking at the corrected copy. There have been some changes. Mr. President, this is a policy decision by the body that relates to what we're going to do with our unprofiled but unrealized capital gains that we are likely to receive June 30th of 2017. As the body understands, there's a spending policy and an investment policy associated with those capital gains that currently leads to a portion of them, 1.25%. The first 1.25% goes into the SIPA above the 2.5%. The second 1.25% goes over into the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, so our savings account. It appears, body, that we're probably going to end up having some substantial capital gains in the early part of this year, and as a result, it is very likely that we will end up putting, despite everything we've heard so far this session, despite all our discussions about the budget, it is likely we'll end up putting $83 million into the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. So we will save $83 million, despite everything we just said, through this budget discussion. The idea that we would put $83 million into savings when we are here doing everything we can to cut government might be problematic. I see it as problematic, Mr. President, which is why I bring this particular budget amendment, which says instead of putting just that portion, it only affects that portion that would go into the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, instead of putting that sum of money into the LISRA, it would capture it and put it to a series of different places prior to going into the LISRA so that we would be showing some expenditures. And, body, you can see that we've got a priority list there. Again, this will all happen before we come back. So this isn't pre-spending tranche style where we'd get another chance to spend it. This is expenditures of funds that will get poured into the LISRA before we have a chance to debate them again. And, Mr. President, based on the robust and sound debate that we've had during this budget, it seems to me that there are some priorities that have been overlooked in the end that we might want to consider funding if, only if, we have capital gains realized by June 30th that would otherwise go into savings. So these would only be funded, Mr. President, if we were instead going to be putting money into our savings account, our rainy day fund, and making those available for the next legislative session. So you see on the priority list some of our old friends, comprehensive and support waivers in the Agency 48, that's the DD program. We've talked a lot about that during this discussion. We've got vocational rehabilitation, which is that workforce development outreach, which was cut.
adolescent health. This is the maternal and child health program that we had some amendments and discussion about. The state fair. Do it for the prize pigs, Mr. President. Do it for the prize pigs. Water development account number one, $2 million. We know that we have cut $6 million from that account so that we could fund it through the state engineer's account. This reestablishes $2 million of those $6-plus million that were cut. Child care you see on priority number six. This is low-income child care support. We saw an amendment addressing that, $1 million. We've got the Office of the Governor, $80,000 for the tribal liaison position. We've got the Wyoming Senior Service Board, $500,000. This is, again, for the Meals on Wheels and other services to the senior board. $2 million back to the State Land and Investments Board. We cut $5 million from that fund. We understand that it affects all of our communities positively. This tries to reestablish a little bit more of those funds. The priority that we see at the bottom, which is currently written as 12, Mr. President, de minimis change. That would probably need to be 10 on the next one, 11 on the next page. Capitol Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account. This is an existing account, Mr. President. We've discussed the need to try and finish up the payments for the Capitol Building Restoration Oversight, and the $19.2 million here is an important contribution to that account. And finally, Mr. President, on page two, you see that the bulk of the remainder, if it's available, up to the $83.3 million that would potentially be going into the LISRA, would go to the School Foundation Program Reserve Account. Mr. President, this body has talked at length of the importance to try and find some additional revenue to bolster our education funding. This is unrealized, unprofiled capital gains that may be available. And if there are capital gains available, this would take what would otherwise be going into our savings account
time.
And put it into the School Foundation Program account. I urge for the body's favorable support, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this amendment, I understand and appreciate the sentiments of the sponsor. The problem I have with this is that it's a number of them, but the first one being that we're depending on one-time funds, capital gains, which are notoriously fickle, for ongoing expenses, all with the exception of number 12, capital building rehabilitation. I'd also curious to hear from the sponsor at how he came up with the priority list itself. Why is number two, and why is number eight, number eight? It wouldn't be the same priority list I would have. In addition, this bill would actually interfere with the capital construction bill, which is using, anticipates any capital gain and will go to the capital construction account for a number of the buildings that we already have, and in some cases have already worked on. And the last thing is, if we do end up with spare money, Mr. President, I remind the body, we've got a huge hole in school funding, and any additional money we can get to help in school funding is sure going to help. With that, Mr. President, I ask that the body vote this down.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment, if you guys will recall 2 years ago when we did this deficit spending, this is as near as you can get to deficit spending, is to actually obligate unrealized fund. The discussion that we heard 2 years is we're betting on the come, folks. Well, guess what? 2 years ago it didn't show up, and last year it did show up. We're still trying to clean up what this body and the other body did down there 2 years ago with the way we funded the supplemental, because we deficit spent or as close as you can get to it. It was a bad idea 2 years ago. It was a bad idea last year, and it's a worse idea to go down the same track that got us in the mess that we're in today, still trying to fund stuff that we deficit obligated funds for 2 years ago. On and against the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Please, Mr. President, I have to concur with the two previous senators. We can't run down this rabbit trail again. If you recall the way we used to come down here, we never profiled unrealized capital gains. And when we came back down and we sat in on our budget, we had a nice surprise. We had some money that was that we could actually do something with, that we had some flexibility with, that we could go to our cities, towns, and counties and say, well, you know, we didn't profile this. We thought it might be coming, but we weren't sure. It showed up, and now we can do something for our cities, towns, and our counties. And we haven't really been able to do that. Last year we gave them a little bit, but yeah, you just don't spend money you don't have. And that's what this does. And in what we've done in the past, and the good senator from Carbon County alluded to it, is that we've put this spaghetti string together, and we've got all these tilts and tips and everything else. And then if we wanted to spend money, if you knew where the shelves were, you could reach over there and you could grab money out of it. And if it showed up, nobody else could spend it because you got your pet project funded before anybody else showed up the next year. And, Mr. President, I hope we never go down this road again. Please, please, don't do it.
Further discussion. Senator Office, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time, and I appreciate the discussion. One of the concerns I have, though, it's interesting. We talk about the fact that we've already, in a different piece of legislation, spent some of this money. And those that were opponents of this series of expenditures supported that expenditure, which was the same pot of money, which is interesting and striking and makes me wonder, you know, why sometimes it's okay for this body to think about what to do before the tip in June 30th, but other times not. Mr. President, this money is money that either will show up, and here are some opportunities to expend funds rather than save the money into our LISRA, and if it doesn't show up, none of these are further obligations. So it's not out into the future. What we did in the past, which was rather egregious, really, was to spend these funds several years out. The difference is we don't meet again before these funds go someplace, Mr. President. That's the difference. We know that these programs are valuable programs. We budget based on not having these funds, but what if we had these funds? How would we budget? My suspicion, Mr. President, is that we would budget differently and we would fund these programs that we've cut. This allows us an opportunity to basically say, well, if we have the money, these are important programs. If we don't have the money, Mr. President, we won't fund these programs. And I agree, certainly most of all, with the sentiment of the good chairman of the Appropriations Committee, who indicated that if we do have additional funds, the most important priority probably is school funding, which is why that final priority is to put $55 million towards school foundation program account, in other words, school funding. This says that if we have excess revenue, we're going to take most of that excess revenue, the vast majority of it, and put it directly towards the school foundation program account and our difficult problem with school funding. Mr. President, this is an appropriate and reasonable approach to the capital gains that we'll realize before June 30th, if we realize them. If we don't, this basically just vanishes, and nothing is lost. But if we do, we have an opportunity to save some programs that the members of this body understand are valuable to the people of the state of Wyoming, to all of us, to our constituents, and I hope the body will support third reading amendment number 33 to Senate File 1. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 33 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins? No. Peterson? No. No. Rothfuss?
No. Yes.
Aye. Rothfuss, aye. Scott? No. Von Bladern? Von Bladern? No. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing? Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 2 aye, 28 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 33 to Senate file 1 has failed. Third reading amendment number 17. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 17, section 329, emergency detentions, page 109, lines 15 through 23.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move Senate, third reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this amendment refers to is section 329, and what that called for was that if the cigarette tax passed, $3 million would go toward Title 25, but since we passed amendment number 34, setting up the statutory reserve account and setting aside $15 million for Title 25, we don't need that. So it deletes this section, and as a result, if the cigarette tax passes, that $3 million will instead go to the general fund.
Further discussion? Further discussion, we're voting on third reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter? Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1 has been adopted. Is this our last amendment? Third reading amendment number 18. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 18. Section 329, emergency detentions. Section 312, major maintenance. Page 102, line 4.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 18 to Senate file 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I ask that we divide this amendment. Line 15. So everything up to line 15 would be section 1. Everything line 16 to the bottom of the page would be section 2.
That is divisible? You're speaking to section 1?
No, I'm speaking to section 2, Mr. President. Mr. President, I asked to withdraw section 2. It's not necessary.
Without objection, section 2 has been withdrawn.
Mr. President, section 1 is simply a technical correction in the copy of in everybody's copy of the bill. Section 312 was left out of the introduction of section 3 on page 102. This just puts it back in.
Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 18, division 1, which is lines 1 through 15. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns? Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Meyer, aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Third reading amendment number 18 to Senate file 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Senate file 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file 1 pass? Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
No.
No. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Aye. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott.
Aye.
Aye. Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
No.
No. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
Senate file 1, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 1 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, maybe you should stand up and make a motion.
Messages from the House that we care about?
Oh, we do have some that we... Well, do we care about them, Senator Perkins?
Probably right, not right now, Mr. President. Mr.
Well, let's read messages from the House.
Oh, please, let's not. I'll sit down, Mr. President. Thank you.
From the House of Representatives, February 10, 2017, message number 292. Mr. President, the Speaker reappointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 78. The House conferees are Representative Eklund, Chairman, Representative Lindholm, and Representative Laux. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Anything else? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's weather moving in this weekend, so be careful if you're traveling. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we won some. We lost some. Lick your wounds. Heal up, because we got to take a deep spur and move on come Monday. So with that, Mr. President, I move that we adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, February the 13th.
Announcement, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Larry Elton, Social Services, will meet Monday morning at 8 a.m., General Room S-27. House Bill 171, Engrossed, Employment Insurance Delinquency Contributions. House Bill 221, Non-Resident Employer Bonding Requirements. And House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, the last being, if time permits.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, is going to meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock, Jonah Room S-19, to consider the following bills. For the third day, my committee, House Bill 40, and we're going to finish it up, by the way, finally on Monday, and House Bill 76, American Indian Education Program.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number nine, Minerals Economic Development, will meet on Monday about 15 minutes after noon recess, Jonah Room S-18, to consider House Bill 183 and Gross Security for On-Deposit Public Funds.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number one will meet Monday, February 13th, 8 a.m., Jonah Room L-51, to consider the following bills. House Bill 197, Engrossed Marijuana and THC Products Policy Reform Act. House Bill 87, Engrossed Return of a Victim's Property Held as Evidence. House Bill 153, Parental Rights.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number eight, Transportation, will meet Monday, February 13th, 10 minutes after adjournment in Jonah Room S-27 to consider the following House bills. House Bill 275, Engrossed Driver Licenses Revisions. House Bill 280, Vehicle Registration Requirements.
Further announcements? Members of the Senate, if it felt like you just went through a budget session, we really did. And let's congratulate our Senate Appropriations Committee on a job well done.
Okay.
With that, you've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. The Senate will stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday, February 13th.
Should this just go to Judy and she can call them? Okay. And I'm going to download this. So I can tell them that we've recessed.
Let me just write a note.
Okay.
You're going down there?
Uh-huh.
I'll go with you just to try to figure it out.
Okay.
Okay, you will have to go back because I do have messages to go.
Okay, well, that's fine.
All right.
Okay, and then do you want me to take those three? Or are you finished?
No, I'm not finished.
Okay, Ellen, we'll get them. Okay.
I got a couple more for you, Linda, as soon as I get this, I guess.
No hurry.
Okay.
Okay.
Give it back to, yeah.
Oh, I can read. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the